So this morning is Halloween, and so I was thinking as we were leading up towards Halloween and knowing it was actually on a Sunday, I said, you know, I really want to do something that'll be a little thematic. So today we're going to be hearing about Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, and so I hope that that this will be something interesting for you today, and also hopefully something that will be somewhat inspirational. So I want you to think about your favorite Halloween costume. Now, it could be the one that you wore when you were growing up, or your favorite one you made for your children, or the cutest thing you've seen your grandbabies or great-grandbabies in. Whatever it is, I want you to think about what was your favorite or what's your most memorable Halloween costume. Okay, I want you to get an image of that costume in your head. Okay, was it scary? Was the costume scary? Was it maybe just fun and cute? Was it homemade? You know, was it the Kmart special? You know, we were telling Harper the other day about Halloween costumes, and we said, Harper, your costume, you know, she has this big, like, it's almost like a pajamas or something costume that goes over her head and everything. We said, your costume is so much fancier than the costumes we had when we were little. And Kristen said, yeah, when I was little, I can remember very clearly the costumes that were basically a trash bag with some printing on them, right? And a little plastic mask with a string on the back, right? Yeah. And maybe a McDonald's basket, right? That was what we did for, and we loved it, right? But, you know, we didn't know any better. No, it was fun, right? Depending on what your memory is, that your Halloween costume that you imagine may be different, right? It may be that grandbaby, and that we saw some people at one of the trunk or treats last night. The dad was Aladdin, the mom was Jasmine, and the baby was Abu, the little monkey from the Disney cartoon. It was the cutest thing ever. And I said, you know, they're going to remember that one forever, right? Yeah, that how cute the baby was then, especially when the baby starts to complain about every type of Halloween, nothing's good enough, right? And maybe for you, you're remembering that time when you made your own ghost costume, right? And maybe you ended up looking like Charlie Brown, you know, where he's got the wrong number of eyes and things like that. But the thing about Halloween is that, casting aside all historical significance and things of that nature, it's just a fun time for kids and even sometimes grown-ups to put on a different persona, right? To maybe be a little spooky looking when they're not used to being spooky, to maybe be a little more outgoing when they're usually a little more reserved, to be louder when they're usually quiet, or quieter when they're usually loud, to test out some different types of attitudes and ways of behaving. And one of the things I love about Halloween is that it's an opportunity for us to see something scary, but know that it's really not all that bad, right? You know, real life is scary enough, right? There's enough, right? Even people who want to act like life is really easy and you know, easy street and things like that, after the last couple of years, we can't do that, right? We can't, in good conscience, pretend like everything's easy and there's nothing scary in the world. There's plenty of scary stuff in the world. And so having some goblins and some skeletons that are running around that you know are just kind of little kids being goofy, that's a nice thing to have, isn't it? And so I want you to think about that idea of being able to try on new personas, seeing something that's scary that's really not all that scary when you get down under the surface, okay? As you hear today's scripture, it comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, the first 14 verses, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. So I want you to hear now the word of God. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Excuse me. I said, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. So this scripture this morning starts out in a place of death, right? It starts out in an open valley, a place where presumably a large battle has taken place. And the people who have been vanquished, the defeated army, they haven't even been buried, right? The bones are just laying out in the open. Now this is something you might expect to see on, I don't know, Game of Thrones or something like that, right? Huge armies of people who have been massacred. And their bones have been left for long enough that that's all that's left is bones. And it's just there piled up in not in skeletons, not like we see for Halloween, but just in piles of bones, because the bodies were left, and now this is kind of gross and nasty, but the bodies were left, and they were set upon by the buzzards and the wild dogs and all of that, right? That's why oftentimes when you hear in Scripture when someone is being judged, right, God says, this person is, there's judgment on this person. What happens to them when they die? Their body gets just tossed outside, right? Left to be torn apart. And that is a sign of judgment. And it's also just kind of a really awful thing to happen, right? When we lose loved ones, when loved ones pass away, there's some sort of comfort in being able to go to a certain place, right? Whether that be a tombstone or a memorial garden or a place where ashes were scattered, something of that nature, right? There's some comfort in being able to say, hey, I'm going to go visit with grandma, something like that. But when something like this happens, when the body is left out in the elements to just decay and be ripped to pieces, there's some lack of finality, a lack of closure, a lack of ability to be able to mourn those that have been lost, right? And the people of Israel are in that situation. You see, the book of Ezekiel is in three parts, right? You're probably familiar with this if you've studied Ezekiel in Sunday school. It's in three parts, though. The first part is about the prophecies of doom for the nation of Judah, right? That's the southern kingdom. Bad things are going to happen. You're going to be taken out into exile. In the middle is you're in exile. What's going to happen? And the end is prophecies of restoration. And this part, Ezekiel 37, is in the restoration section. But it's restoration that doesn't say, hey, everything's great, nothing will ever be bad again, right? In fact, where does the story start out? Where does God take Ezekiel? The Spirit takes Ezekiel to a battleground filled with dead bodies, filled with bones. And the bones are piled up. It's a place of no hope. Hopelessness. And I wonder how many of us feel like we're in that place of hopelessness right now, waiting to hear the next call from the doctor, waiting to hear about the next friend or loved one who's been stricken with sickness, waiting to know what's going to happen with the business or the job that's teetering on the edge. And when these things happen, when we watch our dreams that we had cherished very closely go away, or we see the plans that we had fall apart, like the skeleton that doesn't have anything to hold it together. When we see those things happen, when we see our loved ones pass away, then it seems life once had all that juice and all that joy, right? I like to think of like a good fruit, right? You could get a watermelon in the summer, right? And you eat that watermelon, it's juicy and it gets all over you and it's delicious, right? But life can be like that turkey that you left too long in the oven. And it's dry, and you take a bite of it, and just takes all of the spit out of your mouth, and you can't eat it, right? When our life becomes ashes in our mouth, I think that often happens to us, and it may be happening to us right now. The temptation is when we're in that dry valley to say, "There is no hope. I can't do anything. I just give up. I'm going to lay down. I'm going to join the bones." And the people of Israel had been in exile for hundreds of years. They had been suffering. They had seen the temple be destroyed. They had seen occupying armies sweep through their land and take away the land that was promised to them by God. Right? You talk about traumatic things to happen, right? They didn't just lose the house and the mortgage. They lost the country. They didn't just lose, the church building didn't just burn down, the temple burned down, and they didn't have church buildings. And somehow Ezekiel and the Israelites that are out in exile had to come up with ways to understand how to follow God in lands that weren't their own, in unfamiliar places. How can we be Jews? How can we be people of God in a place that isn't ours? How can we proclaim God's provision of the promised land when we're not there? How can we proclaim that God is the water from the rock when all we feel like is the rock? Right? And God takes Ezekiel to this valley of the dry bones. And he looks at them and says, God says to Ezekiel, "Can these live?" Well, now the easy answer is, no, they're bones, right? But Ezekiel, being a prophet, is like, why don't you tell me, God? Yeah, I think you probably know a little bit more than I do. And, you know, and God says, well, prophesy to them. And I love this, like, I can't believe there haven't been, like, Halloween specials done based on the Valley of the Dry Bones, because it's just perfect, right? I want you to get this in your head, okay? You have these piles of bones, and then Ezekiel prophesies to the bones on behalf of God, and the bones start to come together, and they rattle and shake, and they scrape against one another, and they become these walking skeletons. Now, the toe bone was over here, and the head bone was over there, and the ribs were in various different places, and they come together, and they rattle and shake like maracas, and then all of a sudden, there's a skeleton. Now that in and of itself is terrifying, right? But multiply it by the thousands of the bodies that are there on the ground that have all come back together into their own bodies. And it's amazing Ezekiel doesn't turn and run. Right? Sometimes God's work of restoration is just as scary as the loss that went before. Sometimes in order to grow, we have to scrape along and get back, put back together. And it's not easy, right? Any of you who've had a surgery know this in the physical sense, right? When you get that surgery done and you're laying in the bed, you're thinking, okay, everything's going to be great now. And then there's physical therapy, right? Then you've got to get that knee moving or the back stretched out or whatever it is, right? You've got to get the finger moving again. And that is hard. That is, you're doing it and you're thinking, oh my goodness, why did I even do this in the first place, right? Sometimes the healing is as daunting as the loss. And yet, the story's not over there, right? We've got the bones dancing around. They're stuck. They're immobile. They don't have anything to move them with. And God says, no, I'm going to give them sinews. Now I want you to think of those pictures in your science textbooks of the human body with just the muscles and stuff on there. And now imagine a whole bunch of those around you, right? That's a horror movie in and of itself, right? And then God prophesies, hey, now we're going to give you skin. Thank goodness, right? And we never hear anything about giving them clothes, okay? But we can hope that at some point they get clothes too. But the bodies all get skin. And so now they're no longer horrific, skeletons / muscle pieces all over the place. They're now people. But they're only missing one thing. They're missing the breath of life in them. And I wonder which of these places we find ourselves. Are we the bones that are scattered in the valley? We feel like it's long past any time there was any hope. Everything's dead and we just don't know what to do with ourselves. Are we the skeleton being brought back together, shaking and not knowing what's coming next, struggling to get together? Are we the bodies with the sinews where everything's exposed and everything hurts and we're thinking, man, this is never going to be over. I know things are going to get better, but it just seems like it never gets any better and everything is difficult? Or are we the bodies that have all the skin and everything that look perfectly normal but don't have the breath to get going? You see, there's all this amazing, wonderful thing that's happening, right? These bodies being brought together, this death becoming life, and yet still they lack the ability to do anything because they don't have the breath of life in them. And so Ezekiel gets to see a little glimpse of what it was like when God's Spirit swept over the dark waters and started creation. He gets to see a little glimpse of what it was like when God breathed life into Adam. Prophesy to the winds, and the winds will come and fill those bodies and make them live again. And then they stand there on display, right? Have you ever watched like a military review or something like that, right? Where the soldiers are all in perfect lines and they come out and they're spinning their rifles and things like that, and everybody does everything at exactly the same time, right? That's kind of the image here, is this vast multitude, this army that was defeated that now is alive again, and they're ready to march, ready to go, where the one who has given them the wind in their lungs is going to send them. And God says to Ezekiel, this is the people of Israel. Dead inside, they feel dead outside. They worry that there's no way that they're ever going to feel joy and love and support again, because all that they held dear is gone. They've lost their pride. They've lost their place to live. They've lost their loved ones. They've lost all this sense that God is protecting them. They've lost all of that. And yet, God, through God's power, is bringing them back, right? You will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from my graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. So I want you to know a little bit about Jewish burial practices, especially back then. There are these above ground, kind of, they look like a casket above ground, okay? And in those are like family burial plots, okay? But they're above ground. And inside this kind of box is a shelf where you put the body of the person who passed away. Now, here's the problem. Each family has more than one person that dies, right? There's only one slab. So what happens is, when one family member dies and they stay there and they, decompose and there's bones, when the next one comes, what do? Push over to make room. And pretty soon, there's a pile of bones intermingled in the bottom of the burial place. And that seems terrifying and gross and like, I want to see that, right? But I think here the point is, just as it seems like it's hopeless when those bones are piled up, just like it seems like it's hopeless for the people of Israel who have lost their homes, who have lost their country, who have lost their pride, God will take and knit them back together. And that image of restoration, I think, is a powerful one that we need to hear on Halloween. That you may have, we all have varying different levels of frustration and pain in our skeletons, right? Some of us might have like a torn meniscus, and you got that knee that grates sometimes. Some of us might have discs that don't want to stay in place in our spines and make it difficult for us to stand upright. Some of us may have broken legs or fingers that don't want to move correctly because of arthritis and things like that, right? We all have certain issues. But all of that pales in comparison to when you feel like your spirit can't move. When your spirit feels like it's been pushed off that shelf and piled up in bones on the floor. The wonderful news of Ezekiel and the wonderful news of Jesus Christ is that we don't have to stay in a pile on the floor of the tomb. We don't have to stay in a pile of bones on the floor of the valley. No matter how messed up we feel, no matter how dried out we feel, no matter how dead we feel like we are, the Lord will give us breath into our lungs, will knit us back together and help us to move. I love the idea that when God does this, that God makes these things happen in a way that is actually kind of terrifying. Because when you're in the presence of God, it's a little scary, right? Think about Moses on the mountain, right? Moses kind of like hides in a rock and turns his head and says, you know, okay, pass by, God. I don't, you know, because the people of Israel believed if they gazed upon God, they would die, right? And so just being in God's presence is scary enough, but the idea that God can intervene and can bring us life out of our death, can bring light out of darkness, can bring healing from the brokenness in our lives, that is a terrifyingly wonderful vision. And so just like Halloween, when it's fun and when it's done well, is a combination of scary and fun, so then I hope that we can lean into the terrifyingly wonderful aspect of our God. Our God who has power over life and of death. Our God who can turn back the clock on us even though we feel like we can't even put one more foot in front of the other. Our God who can take those bones that are rubbing together, put the sinews back on them, and help us to be alive again. That God is within us. That God promises to meet us every time that we come to the altar. That God promises to meet us every time that we lift our voices in praise. That Holy Spirit promises to be with us when we gather together in His house, and when we even when we're out in the valley and we cast our eyes upwards towards heaven. We are promised that. That idea and that power is wonderful to behold. We get to be a part of that. So I hope that as you go from this place today, this week, that you will be able to live in such a way that, like, you've got your Halloween costume on, right? Maybe you can say, hey, you know what? I may feel like a skeleton, but guess what? I'm able to dance around. God has given life to my dry bones to help me to walk and to live again. And so, as we close with that, there's a fun song with that. So I'd like, if any of you know it, to sing along with me, okay? All right? Okay, it's called Dim Bones. We'll do like maybe one time through, okay? And we'll do just the, you know, building the skeleton just a little bit. Dim bones, dim bones, dim dry bones, dim bones, dim bones, dim dry bones, dim bones, dim bones, dim dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now the foot bone's connected to the leg bone, the leg bone's connected to the knee bone, the knee bone's connected to the hip bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. Dim bones, dim bones, dim dry bones, dim bones, dim bones, dim dry bones, dim bones, dim bones, dim dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen.